Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Dan.
ABC 36's Alex Risen in the house, sitting in for Mary Jo. She'll be back next weekend. Did you watch the Kentucky Speedway race last night, the Quaker State 400?
Yes, and after all the, will it give you a decent race and yeah. You know, the repave, it did.
Absolutely. Did a heck of a job.
You know what I learned?
What's that?
It's important to have gas in your car.
It is. Makes a big difference. It was a compelling finish once again, the Kentucky Speedway's sixth Sprint Cup race. They've had disaster upon disaster with rain, the traffic the first year. There was one good finish previously that was like right down to the millisecond, right? One of those races. And then they did this repave, and then people were criticizing doing the repave at all, like because it was a bumpy track, and that's what it was known for, and made it unique, that it was unlike any other place because of its bumpiness. Drivers would complain about that, too. Can't be satisfied, but they don't like repaves, generally. But this repave was a little bit different the way the Kentucky Speedway handled it, the way they did it. It wasn't just your normal repave. They came in and put rubber down on the track, like melted rubber, to kind of get that traction onto it so it wasn't like a piece of glass.
And they helped out a little bit with the banking and the drainage because it was awful for drainage.
Exactly. And so as I'm watching it, I'm thinking this, I don't know about this repave here. And I don't know about the downforce changes they made to the car. And because people were cutting tires down, couldn't turn. And then they were having to brake more, which was putting more pressure on the tires as well. And the announcers were saying this is more like a short track, like Bristol or something, not a tri-oval. But then, after it kind of got settled in, you know, got going green for a little while, it got a little bit better, and then the finish was spectacular. Because you had Martin Truex Jr., who was really upset, because he had the best car probably all night. He gets a penalty for passing on pit road as he's heading to his pit box. And afterward, he's like, I've probably done this 15 times this year. I've seen other people do it. It's not a penalty any other time, but I guess it is when a win is on the line. But, you know, if they're going to penalize us for this, it would be nice if they brought it up in the driver's meeting. So he was upset. Truex was upset about it. Even though he goes a lap down with the penalty, he comes storming back from like 22nd all the way up to third. I mean, he is picking cars off left and right, just blowing by people. And because he pitted when he did, he has two more laps of fuel than everybody else. Well, he couldn't reel in Kenseth at the time, so he couldn't get up there to even challenge Brad Keselowski. And then Kenseth wound up having to pit. Truex wound up pitting again, and so then it was Keselowski and does he have enough? And here comes Carl Edwards. And Keselowski said two laps to go.
He felt no fuel.
Yeah, I have no fuel. I'm out. I guess he hit the reserve and had just enough to make it because Carl Edwards was on him. Edwards said he thought Keselowski was out of gas, so much so that he was already thinking of songs he was going to play on that jukebox.
Across the jukebox that the winning driver gets.
Right.
And then the flag debacle.
Yeah.
Poor Keselowski has no gas.
No, he said it shut off at the start-finish line. As soon as he crossed, it shut off. So he's up there, he had to get the flag.
up to the wall.
And he can't reach, and the guy can't reach the flag to him. So he decides to throw it to him. And it is a pitiful show of sport.
And then the wrecker comes behind him to push him around the track and eventually into victory lane.
Yeah, the tow truck Yeah, you can't even do a donut. He even said afterward, I'm sorry for the fans. I had no gas. I couldn't give you a show.
Sorry.
Tearing up the grass. Now, it was, and Truex himself said that, I mean, Keselowski himself said that he felt like he stole one. That Truex had the best car all night. Wasn't for that penalty, he wins hands down. But Keselowski also said this ain't the same Kentucky. Meaning, you know, it's not the bumpy track, the repave, all that stuff. But he wins three times in six races there in Sprint Cup. He's won three of them, and including a repave. So he was making the point of how different setups are week to week, different tracks, and how different this setup was here from previous races at Kentucky. And he still won it. Something about he's getting lucky in Kentucky.
Yeah, and he's won it in the even years, 12, 14, 16, and he's won the Xfinity Series in the odd years through the last six, 11, 13, 15.
That's crazy.
So he likes it for whatever's going on, rain. Then there was that truck that was on fire last night that everybody was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows? I still don't know what the cause was. Originally, the scuttlebutt was that it was the grill.
Yeah, observations from the social media world were, and people just watching on TV, you see it, and you see it's on fire.
Maybe something happened with the grill.
The truck has a grill attached to it on the back, like right next to the cab where the fire is. So you're thinking, well, he didn't turn the burners off, or it was still hot, it hadn't cooled down enough when he left it, or something. But then I saw that it wasn't the grill that caused the fire. So I don't know what caused the fire.
They said someone was in the cabin.
Yeah.
Had to pull him out.
So
that was a big fire.
It was huge. So I don't know if he fell asleep in there or what. But he wasn't injured. They got him out. But it was a big, big fire.
If you're the cars next to that truck, that's not cool when you come out after the race. How am I getting home?
I noticed that Mark Story from the Lexington Herald Leader was covering it, and so I didn't notice that anyone else from the Herald Leader was covering the race. So I notice he starts tweeting information about the fire, meaning he's left the press box and the race that he was covering and got his rear end down to the parking lot and out to where the truck was on fire. And then it was happening towards the last, I don't know, 30 laps or something like that when he was tweeting about this. I'm like, well, what's he going to do? How's he going to get back over there? But he hustled back, and I saw him tweeting out quotes and whatnot for the post-race. But if you've ever covered, you've covered a NASCAR race, right? I've covered several. And when you go to bigger tracks like a Daytona or a Talladega, If you go out and get more stuff than just watching the race from the press box, it's a lot of walk. It's a lot of ground to cover, a lot of area.
I do have long legs, but if there's anybody with me, just strap in, you know what I mean?
To me, the funnest way to do it is walk the track if you can, you know, during the race. Yeah. Well, you also have a camera, so you're getting different shots, different angles. And then when wrecks happen, run to the garage to get post-wreck reaction because they're always really angry. They're always mad. And so
I wonder why.
Yeah. So they're either blaming someone else and, you know, calling somebody else out. But they're at least emotional, which makes for good stuff. All right. That was the big event there were two big events in Kentucky last night. That was one. The other being the Kentucky High School Basketball Hall of Fame induction ceremony at the State Theater in Elizabethtown. And Billy Hicks of Scott County was inducted into the Hall of Fame. He's going to join us here in about 20 minutes at 9:30 here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Darius Miller was another who went in. I've been in contact with him. We'll see if we can get him on. Not sure yet, but we'll see. Carly Ormerod, Stan Harden, just a long list of great folks for this state in basketball. And Billy Hicks, right there at the top of the list. And we're going to have fun talking to him, as we always do. The big event around the country last night in sports, UFC 200.
Seems like a lot. 200.
It is a lot. It's a lot. They already have 201 is already coming up in like 3 weeks in Atlanta or something. Now, I haven't watched a ton of UFC. But I watched last night Brock Lesnar being like one of the primary reasons I wanted to see what this brick of a man could do. And he was an underdog, which I thought, but he hadn't been in the ring in 5 years. I mean, to take 5 years off and just walk in and dominate a top heavyweight opponent in UFC, pretty spectacular. But he was like, money line was plus 140. So he was an underdog. He got in there, and the guy he was fighting, basically his deal is if he catches you with his right hook, you're going down like a sack of potatoes. So his deal is timing. So he wants to be upright, time it out, and catch you making a mistake. Lesnar wants to get you down on the ground and just, you know, just be a bear with you. Just wallow all over you, knock you around in your head, and just maul you until you can't breathe or can't take it anymore. And it was a combination of both for the other guy, Mark Hunt. He kind of ran out of breath, and his head was getting beat in. But impressive for Brock Lesnar. I mean, who says wrestling isn't real? Because
this one is for sure.
He's a real wrestler. Like, he's made a career in WWE, but he's been a champion wrestler in college, NCAA champion. I think they said his record was 106-5 in college. And then in the WWE, you know, it's a little different. There's a lot of
pageantry.
Yeah, moves, I guess. Athletic moves you make. Whereas, you know, you're not getting beat in as badly. But the other thing that you notice about the UFC is it's 5 minutes per round. So, I mean, you've got to be in really good shape to keep it going 5 minutes straight when it's, you know, when it's for real, you know. But I just couldn't believe, even though he'd been away for 5 years, I couldn't believe he was an underdog. You look at the two guys standing there.
You pick the favorite pretty easily.
Yeah. You pick the dude that looks like he ate Brian Bosworth. I mean, could you imagine if Lesnar would have played football? Good grief. I mean, he would be, I don't know where he would play.
I was just, defensive end?
Yeah, defensive end.
Right?
J.J. Watt.
Got to be defensive end.
You'd think so. He did play football, didn't he? You think he did play football?
He played for the Minnesota Vikings, so he was terrible.
There you go.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Brock I didn't Lesnar. Know he had no
Our
idea.
Producer Josh says Brock Lesnar played football, Minnesota Vikings, not very good.
I didn't realize that at all.
What position do you play, Josh? He's on it. He's looking it up.
All right. Well, that was an upset. The other upset was Amanda Nunes taking out Miesha Tate. Now, Miesha Tate is the one who beat Holly Holm. Holly Holm was the one who beat Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey beat Tate previously. So it's kind of like the round robin of women beating up each other. But you could see it. I called it on Twitter. Eric Matthews, who used to do this show, started this show. He said something about, nothing says championship like Katy Perry. Because Miesha Tate was walking out to, I am the tiger, you know. And you could see it in her face that this moment was maybe too big for her. It was just a little too much. And I didn't feel it from her. I felt nervous energy, a little scared. I said, watch, she's going to lose. She's scared.
You come out to Katy Perry, you probably got something coming.
And Amanda Nunes looked like, she was cool, relaxed, laughing a little bit. There's the highlights right now on SportsCenter. She's going to catch her right there.
Oh, yeah, this poor girl. Why is she in there?
She caught her twice right around the ear.
And then look at when you start doing that.
Yeah, and then she got her down, and she caught her with a kick. She caught her with a couple punches. It was the first round.
Oh.
Yeah, Nunez. Looks like she broke her nose.
Rearranged her face a little bit.
Took her to the ground, put the chokehold on her, tap out, It was over. So, I mean, for all the talking that Miesha Tate did, Amanda Nunez just, she was all business and took care of it.
What's your song that you come out to? You're in the UFC. What's your song, Dan Reefer?
Oh, that's hard. You got a lot of good stuff.
Do you try to go intimidation factor?
I'm going hard rock.
You're going hard rock.
Yeah. Something maybe Guns N' Roses, Night Train, possibly.
Okay.
Or maybe some Metallica, Am I Evil, or something crazy like that, you know, psych them out.
I kind of like the guitar on One by Metallica. Yeah. Just something subtle, you know. Da, da,
da, da. It takes a while for that to warm up.
That's okay.
I want you to know that I mean business and I'm angry right off the bat. Like Inner Sandman doesn't take as long. It starts out, you know.
Yeah.
A little bit light, and then it builds up, and then it hits. And that's what Lesnar came out to. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what he should come out to. Metallica. There was an earlier fight. This guy, Cain Velasquez, whooped this guy that was like 6'7". But Cain Velasquez is Mexican, and so he's got across his... The guy he was fighting was named Trevor Brown. But Velasquez has on his chest tattooed Brown Pride. And I just thought it was funny that the guy he was fighting, his name was Brown. But the one thing I took away from it is you're going in there, and you have to have a certain mindset to go in and know that you're trying to beat on someone and beat them down, knock them out if possible, just combat. So there's a certain mindset you got to have for that. And it's just you two in a cage. And they're able to hug it out afterward. I mean, kiss each other on the forehead, give a hug, great job, all the respect in the world. And here we are. Remember, just last year or the year before, the KHSAA said maybe you shouldn't shake hands after football games?
Yeah.
Because of what could happen? If there is any...
There's always going to be a few bad apples that spoil a whole bunch.
But, my bigger point is that if you can do it in this sport...
You can do it anywhere.
You can do it in any sport. Because there's nothing more brutal than two men... Or women
the crap out of each other.
trying to beat each other, beat the crap out of each other. And then to be able to be cool afterward and, you know, show the respect and sportsmanship. So I don't want to hear, that's always going to be what I go to. Every time I hear something, some excuse or something about sportsmanship, not being able to shake hands or whatever, because they already don't do it in NBA. Forget about it that way.
And I like it too, because I think there's something to be said because it is such a physical, you know, sport where the fact that you're even in the ring, right, with me, back when Ronda Rousey was just taking girls out.
Yeah.
And it was like, why are you getting in the ring? You know what? I at least got the respect for you, the fact that you're getting in here.
Right.
Because you know I'm going to kick you in the face.
I mean, you acknowledge that, all right, you've already made it to this certain level. It took what it took to get to this point. So... I respect you for that because there aren't a lot of other people out there that's going to do that. I agree with that for sure. But, Dwight Howard was there. When they showed him on the screen, everybody booed. This is in Las Vegas. DeMarco Murray was there, the new Titans running back, or the Titans' new running back. DeMarcus Cousins was also at UFC 200. And I don't know if you heard this, but he is reportedly down to 275 pounds now. He ended the season at 308. I mean, that's 33 pounds in a couple months that DeMarcus has dropped, and he's going for Team USA. We'll talk about what Tyler Ulis and Devin Booker did here next. Take your calls, 381-1313. And coming up, Billy Hicks from Scott County in about 10 minutes here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show with ABC 36's Alex Risen on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Fleet Doc, can we help you?
Yeah, my car, it goes... Can you fix that?
Oh, no problem. We can fix that.
Fleet Doc is here for your travel season. They'll get you ready for your trip as quickly as 1 hour to install a set of tires. Full safety inspection with every oil change and affordable two- or four-wheel alignments. Visit your one-stop shop, Fleet Doc, 1031 Contract Street, Lexington.
Visit us on Contract Street behind Green's Toyota in Lexington and online at fleet-doc.com.
Bingo, bingo.
Your trusted vehicle doctor. Fleet Doc.
Ride rough, ride tough. MLS Power Sports got the ride you're looking for.
Is summer moving too fast? Get the horsepower to catch it at MLS Power Sports of Georgetown during the Arctic Cat Factory Authorized Clearance Sale. Get a 2015 Wildcat Sport for as low as $156 a month or 0% financing and rebates up to $3,000. Visit MLS Power Sports to ride in the summer sun. Arctic Cat, share our passion. Offer subject to change. Not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
Ride victoriously.
Only ride an ATV that's right for your age. Supervised riders younger than 16. Each rider must wear a seatbelt and approved helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. We recommend that all ROV operators have a driver's license and that all riders take a training course, read and understand the owner's manual before operation. For safety or training information, see your dealer. Savings vary by model purchase and dealer participation. Offer subject to change. See dealer for details.
An advertisement. When we built ForThePeople.com, it was designed to be your consumer website, a place to go to learn about your legal rights. It was also built to protect you before an accident occurs. One of the most helpful parts of our site is warnings about unsafe drugs, products, and medical devices. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Right now, we're investigating, and in some cases, actually litigating cases involving some of these drugs you may be currently taking or have taken in the past, and likewise, certain medical devices. I invite you to visit ForThePeople.com now and from time to time to educate yourself and hopefully protect you and your family. This site was built for you, the consumer. And remember this, I'm not just a lawyer, I'm your lawyer. Morgan & Morgan, For the People.
Offices Lexington. This message has been an effort.
How's everything taste tonight, folks?
Oh, excellent.
How was your chicken tonight?
It's excellent. Where was it raised?
As a chef, it's important to know where your food comes from. That's why we buy local and Kentucky-raised food.
We're the Settles family from Owensboro, Kentucky.
We produce poultry for families all over the state.
And we're proud of the products that we produce. If you're buying a chicken that came from our farm, you're getting an excellent quality product. Some of the best you'll find in the case.
A lot of your local restaurants feature our poultry products. We are a Kentucky farm family.
Feeding Kentucky.
Feeding the world.
Sponsored by the Kentucky Poultry Federation and the Kentucky Agricultural Development Fund.
ESPN Sports Radio.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know, Guns N' Roses was in Cincinnati Wednesday night and then in Nashville last night. I really wish I would have been able to go to one of them. It's Guns N' Roses. That's
where were they at in Cincinnati? Was it U.S. Bank or were
I actually don't know. Paul Brown, I think. Paul Brown.
That would make more sense.
Yeah, Paul Brown Stadium. Then I don't know where they were in Nashville. I don't know if it was where the Titans play or not. But, you know, I saw some people who were tweeting about it, tweeting out little clips and stuff of it. And I thought when they came back around for this tour, I'm like, Axl Rose is such a joke now. I'm just, there's no way he's going to be able to sing the same way. I don't want to see them and ruin the image that I have from when I saw them in their prime, you know? I don't want to ruin that. And then now that I saw some videos and stuff, I'm like, you know, he's not so bad. Like, he can't hit the notes quite as well, but it still sounds, it's still Axl Rose. It's still those songs. They still sound like Guns N' Roses. So, you know, you go to the concert, and you're going to be happy, I think.
Cincinnati and Nashville, those are fairly close.
Yeah, I mean, so that's it.
I wonder how many stops they...
I would say that they are nowhere around here.
But man, you know what I mean? It's just, dang, that's a couple of...
I saw them in Knoxville in 1991 on the Use Your Illusion tour.
In Knoxville?
Yeah, at Thompson Bowling Arena.
Nice.
And they were awesome! coming out for them first, opening up was Skid Row.
Okay.
Remember Skid Row? And Skid Row was pretty good. I mean, the show was good, sounded good, when Guns N' Roses came on, it was like Skid Row was on level 5 as far as like where the volume was. Guns N' Roses came out, and it like blew the speakers. I mean, they were so loud, it was 3 times what Skid Row sounded like.
The warm-up act worked, huh?
Yeah. And Axl Rose is running around like he is on who knows what.
Perhaps was.
Yeah. I mean, he is hyped up, just running all over the stage for 2-3 hours. They were awesome. Because that right there was their height. Use Your Illusion was their last good set of records, of albums.
They did an encore? You remember if they didn't?
I don't remember an encore.
They keep a couple in the pocket.
I'm sure they did.
They just blow it all out.
No, I'm sure they did an encore. I'm sure they did. I just can't remember because it was 1991, a long time ago. But
yeah, that's it.
No, I was in high school. I was in high school.
Okay.
I drove, you know, from Williamsburg to Knoxville, so had to be able to drive. So.
Right.
And I was also, you know, 17 years old. So now they were phenomenal, but they had the Appetite for Destruction. They had what they had from Patience, GNR Lies, and they had Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 to work from. That was it. That's what they had. And you know, after that tour, a few years later, that was, you know, the end of Guns N' Roses for forever. Seemed like, until now.
That'd be a good commercial. You should have done their PR for them.
Well, until I didn't buy a ticket, though. I didn't buy a ticket. I saw, but I've heard good reviews. I would go. I would, if I had a chance, I would go check them out. Did you see what Devin Booker and Tyler Ulis did?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Tyler Ulis is still just trying to fight 7-foot dude, you know?
He was at UFC, by the way. Speaking of fights and Tyler Ulis, he went to UFC. He tweeted out a picture saying, first fight.
Well, yeah, first fight he's been to, maybe. Yeah. Not the first one he's tried to pick.
Booker went off for 18 points in the third quarter.
It's not bad.
And he did it like he posted a guy up. I mean, he's posting a guy up underneath. He gets it on the block and doesn't move and goes up and under and scores. He's flying in there, throwing it down. He's blowing by for a layup. He's knocking down a three in somebody's face. I mean, he scored every which way you could. 18 points, 28 in the third quarter, 28 for the game, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. People carrying on about Ben Simmons, Devin Booker was pretty awesome. And Tyler Ulis, 11 points, 7 assists, 1 turnover. For this to be his first action against other NBA players or a few NBA players.
It's the summer league, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
There's
summer
no
league.
Doubt that it's at least as good as the best game that Kentucky, you know, played.
Yeah,
collegiately while he was here.
Yeah, it's still impressive to me. All right, Billy Hicks. Next, we're going to talk to him here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show with Alex Risen from ABC 36 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. I don't play. Streets not safe, but I never run away. Even
the Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Legends will wrap up their homestand against the Greenville Drive this afternoon at 2:05. It's another Jip Kids Club Sunday where all Kids Club members will form a high-five tunnel for all of the Legends players to run through when the game begins. Sign your child up for free at LexingtonLegends.com.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Joe Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, that was a quick break. Wasn't ready for that. Josh, the producer, I mean, he's just...
You know, and we're back!
Yeah.
The first biblical baseball game. Harry Carey.
It caught him way off guard, and just to watch him in action.
Was worth it?
Yeah. Just to see Josh.
Don't you wish we had a drop cam in the corner, and the podcast was really just a drop cam look at
like
what's
a periscope
going on.
If we, you know...
Ah. That's a little more effort than I'm wanting to put into it.
We had quality Wi-Fi here. We could Periscope this thing, you know. And you could see Josh at his best. Like, he's calling Coach Hicks right now because he didn't have time to call him because he's, you know.
It was fast.
It was. I don't know. Probably something with the system.
Yeah, nonetheless.
Well, we do have now Coach Billy Hicks on the line. And last night, as we mentioned earlier, maybe you heard about it, Kentucky Basketball High School Hall of Fame, High School Basketball Hall of Fame, which is a great thing. I mean, there's the KHSAA Hall of Fame, which is one thing, but this is just for high school basketball in our state, and it's such a big deal. It deserves its own Hall of Fame, and I think it's pretty cool that they have it, and they have a good ceremony, and we have a man who was inducted into that Hall of Fame last night, Coach Billy Hicks. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning.
Well, tell us how, first of all, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
And how was the ceremony? How did you think things went?
I tell you, until you go through it, you have no idea. I went to the first one, and I've been out of town the last few years. Hadn't been back the last couple then. But that organization, you know, that does that, it's spearheaded by Ken Trivett. Everybody that works with Ken on that. It's really something. I know that just talking to Tom Thacker last night, he said, you know, not too long ago, I got inducted into the Ohio Hall of Fame. He said, it's nothing like this. Mm. And it is, everything is first class. It's really quite an experience. I was just really honored to be a part of it.
Did you get emotional? Did it move you a little bit? Was it a moving ceremony for you?
It would.
Yeah.
Anyway, it really would. It's just something that, you know, when you've coached all your life in Kentucky and you get recognized by your peers, people you work with, for that body of work. And also it's a appreciation for the teams you've coached.
Right.
The players you've worked with and the people that's been around you. It's a, from a coach's standpoint, it's all of that. You know, you really recognize everybody's been a part of you. And, it's very, very humbling.
Well, Mark Story from the Lexington Herald Leader last weekend, I thought had a great article on you and some stuff that I'd, you know, really didn't know about you. I've known you for a good little while, but didn't realize that you were real close to being a coal miner.
Well, you know, first of all, I'm sort of the private person. I don't
right.
really, I don't really run around a whole lot and do a lot of stuff. But I, you know, yeah, I'm from Harlan County. I grew up in Ages, a little community, Ages Brookside, coal mining was the life around there for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and that, it's really, nothing wrong with that.
Right.
A lot
right.
of great coal miners, a lot of very smart people, but it's very hard work. You know, I didn't want to do that all my life.
Yeah, not too many of them rise from the coal mines to where Joe Kraft is. You know what I mean? The upward mobility in that business is not quite as good as basketball.
It's a tough life.
Yeah.
You know, the work. And I did that all the time growing up. And not necessarily underground all the time, but it's been around the mines all my life. Worked at my dad's. Had his back broke at mines. And he bought coal trucks. He did all the slate hauling and was over the outside of the temple.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So we always had jobs around there. And it was good. Shoot, I was making money when nobody else was. You know, it had a job, but it was hard work.
What was it?
It motivated me to stay in school and become a coach. But you know, hey Daniel, getting back to the Hall of Fame, it's just, you sit there and you watch the Harry Todds, the Ralph Richardson, the Tom Thackers, and Greg Smith up there, and represent your brother Dwight Smith and everything. And
yeah.
My gosh, you think, man, Kentucky has produced fine people. You know, and long before all this education reform and everything, and nothing wrong with that, but the state of Kentucky, gosh, they produced some of the finest people in the world. And to see those guys, the pride they had in their communities, and everything. It's very, very heartwarming.
Absolutely, yeah.
Sorry for almost cutting you off there, Coach, but what was it about basketball that really, you know, brought you in, you know, and you knew, you know what, this is for me, and I'm gonna stick with this thing right here.
Well, I tell you, you're growing up, you know, and it wasn't a whole lot to do back then, you know. We got in school, and you got the academic part, you know, you want to make good grades, you get recognized for that. But if you can play sports, it made you a little better, a little different than other people, especially if you're pretty good at it. And so early on, my parents weren't into sports. My dad really, I don't know if he's in sports at all, and my mother wasn't either. They didn't know anything about sports. But by playing ball, I had older brothers to play, you know, and we were able to, you know, it draws attention to you, something successful in, and something that you have pride in. And also, in my case, it provided me a way to go to college. I had a 4-year scholarship, played basketball in college, and it's probably the only way I had a chance to go to college. But, yeah, playing ball, really baseball was the thing I loved early on, played early on. But as I got older, basketball, you know, really getting that, because you basketball, you get scholarships in it and everything. But it was, sports has been a, you know, back then that's all we had.
And what was that early time like? You're at Everts as a head coach. Like, how old were you when you became the head coach at Everts?
I think I was about 23 or 20, about 24. Or
wow. Something
around there. It was really tell me a tough job. You know, I went back to Everts, and I think I had a half a point, a half a rebound coming back, and you know, and he quit on me. So we worked too hard. So you're talking about starting out at ground zero. That was the facilities were a terrible day. It was just a guy is a tough place to go back in, start building a basketball program.
Well, I can tell you, I wasn't sad to see that football field goal over there because it was filled with rocks. Every time you get tackled, you land on a rock somewhere over there. But
I think one of my first games was a tournament down at Williamsburg, a preseason tournament. I think Danny Johnson, a friend of mine, I'd ran into Danny when he was playing over Virginia Commonwealth. We won a tournament with him when I was playing at Wolf. And Danny, it was coach at Williamsburg. He taught me to come in down there, and he had a good team at Williamsburg. So I think the first loss I ever had with a coach was at Williamsburg, Daniel.
Yes, there we go. We're in the record books with Coach Hicks.
Now, when the Red Hounds went down there, we didn't lose a whole lot.
No, you didn't. No, as a matter of fact, if to be honest, when I wanted to see good basketball when I was in high school, I would travel up to see Corbin play, or we'd go over and see Richie play, obviously. Tell me a little bit about those times. I guess, you know, I think I know what it means. I think a lot of Kentuckians know what it means, basketball does to this state. But, you know, that area, like Laurel County, the 13th Region Tournament, and that place just be, you know, packed, filled to the brim. It's just, I think it's a little different when you're talking about areas like Corbin and Harlan and Clay County, as far as what people think.
You'd have some rivalries, Daniel, and our games with the guy with Clay County and Knox Central and even in Williamsburg. When I first went to Corbin, Williamsburg was really good. And when we played, gym would be packed. With Clay County, if you didn't get there early, you know, at least an hour before the ball game, you couldn't get in. Yeah. Well, anytime Corbin at that time played Clay, whether it was in the district or even a regional tournament, you just had to get there early to even get in the gym, because the fire marshal would always make us lock the doors and everything.
Yeah.
And I remember one time at Corbin, we were playing Clay County, and my brother had brought a bunch of guys down from Harlan County. And he told me, and said, they got the fire marshal got the door locked, so I get a couple guys in. I went to the back door, and I bet 20 people came. 20 blood through there. I said, man, I'm gonna get arrested. but it was the crowd that stopped the rivalries. We get that to some degree now, you know. When it comes and goes, that stuff. But I know when we play a big game against Henry Clay or
Bryan
Station or Lexington Catholic. It really gets going, but not probably nothing like it was.
No. And
I don't know if it's like that down there now, but I know that when we played Knox Central that last year in a district tournament, last year as a Corbin first round, we were both ranked the top 10 in the state.
Yeah.
And what a crowd. What a ball game that was. And all the Clay County games back then, I remember over in Bell County one time, we would bring their team in. This was the hour before the game. And Murray Arnold, coach at Western, was out there, his wife. I'd met Coach Arnold. I knew him, and I'd met him at clinics and stuff. And I felt sorry. He's sitting out front, couldn't get in. I said, go in with our team. So I put him in with our team and got him in the gym. Obviously, he's recruiting Richie Farmer and other guys. But it was tough to get in. But it was really that may have been, of the modern era of mountain basketball, those late 80s and early 90s might have been the peak there for a while. I can always come back. Probably will. Everything goes in cycles. But that was probably the peak. Because I know the last year I was at Corbin, we had Corbin, Knox Central, Harlan, and Clay County were all ranked the top 10.
Wow.
And I don't know if that had ever happened before. I don't know if that ever happened again.
Yeah. Now, is there a story that you could tell us about Bobby Keith?
One thing about Bobby, everybody played several of it. Me and Bobby always got along. I know on my end, and I think on his end, there's a lot of respect for each other. One thing that Bobby did that showed a lot of class and heart to me was when finally, after 8,000 losses to him, we finally had the game put away. It was a regional semifinals at Bell County in 1991. And it was going to get rough because, guys, we were getting pelted by everything. Clay County behind our bench.
Oh, boy.
And the fans were, they were upset, irate. Well, we were getting bombarded with everything out of those bleachers. Ooh. And he turned around and told them to stop. I was, if he hadn't did that, I don't know if we'd ever got out of there that night. but it was really good. But Bobby did that. He saw the situation, and he told them to stop, and they stopped. They did whatever he told them to do and everything.
Just like referees did whatever he told them to do. No, I'm joking.
Like referees. I've said this many times, is that you could get, I know a lot of coaches in America, and any coach I know in America, you give them five players, you give Bobby Keith five players, and your life depends on whichever team wins. I would pick his team because he'd find a way to beat you.
Yeah.
He was, and he's just one of them. But that's the sad thing about Clay County. Gosh, I'm out of it. People got to follow him, and there's only one of them. So it made it tough on everybody
to follow Bobby. We're talking with Coach Billy Hicks, who was just inducted into the Kentucky High School Basketball Hall of Fame last night. And, there at Scott County, you've really been on a great run. We were talking about the crowds, and I'm a little disappointed with the Scott County folks. I mean, to have a program as good as what it is right now and has been for several years, I would think that that gym would be a little bit more packed. Because there's enough people in Scott County who like basketball, and you're the best show in town.
Well, it is. And, again, everything ebbs, it rises and falls, everything. And with different directions it flows in. And recently there hasn't been much interest on sports from the school standpoint. And again, maybe there was too much emphasis on it before. I don't know, but it's there. The town people of Scott County, the older people in the community, the people that live there, went to school there. God, they love sports.
They're
the most sports-minded people I've ever been around, and that's always been the cornerstone of our program. It's been the people in town. Students coming, some students really get fired up, get behind sports. And, you go through a few classes where they really don't. But I think we will be. I think our principal now, you know, Joe Beck does. I think Joe is a well-rounded school. I think he'll put a little more emphasis on sports now, I would think. And that's where it all starts.
Yeah.
I think I'll look for Scott County. And I think when it gets a new school built, everybody says, oh, you know, but we're fighting. I'd be glad. I think the new school will help get it going. Now we'll have two schools in the community, and I think that'll be like the Williamsburg-Wheatley County battle.
Yeah.
In those days and everything. And I think that'll help some. But, yeah, I guess if you coach long enough, Dan, you see – When I first came to Scott County, we first had success, state championship, everything. God, it was a rabbit. Every time we could play anybody in the gym would have been packed.
Yeah.
But then a lot of it is, too, in that got moved into the 11th region. And the Lexington games are big games, but they don't bring any fans on the road.
True.
You know, when we play a Lexington school at home, other than Lexington Catholic, they don't have any fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that hurts some and everything. But yeah, I mean, as far as everything's down a little bit, but we still probably have bigger crowds than anybody else. And everything is not in, not out, but not like it used to be.
Yeah.
The only thing that I've got left, Coach, is I started thinking about some of the guys that I've gotten to cover that were at Scott County, and I think Trent Gilbert may have helped out at a camp or something and popped back in, but it just kind of got me thinking, how much do you keep up with, you know, some of the players that you've had in the past, not just Scott County, but maybe throughout your career, and, you know, do they give you a call every so often and check in with you, and just what's the relationships like with those past players?
Well, yeah, and that's the big part of coaching, is the relationship you form with your players. I'm not a phone person to pick up phone, call everybody every day, Alex, but we still stay in touch, and they know I'm there. If any players are to play for me, he becomes part of our family, and if anything I can ever do for him that I would do it. And they know that. They know that once you coach a kid, you play for you, there's a special bond there. And as you go through life, you take pride in each other on that. And that's one thing that even with the Hall of Fame and stuff, it's a representative of all the players who played for you. I think they take a lot more pride in it than I do. That's what the wins thing. I didn't even keep up that stuff. Didn't even follow it. And finally, A.W. Hamilton kept pushing. I never said, Coach, you got more wins than this thing. You ought to be at the top. And I never did fool with it. So finally I said, well, maybe I better do that, A.W. Because it represents all your players.
Yeah.
Played for you and all that and everything. And I never have been much on the individual stuff. I never emphasize as a coach, coaching players, or as a coach myself. You know, because it's any coaching thing, God, there's so many factor into that. Players, coaches, that you coach with, administrators, friends, everything it comes a part of your life affects that. So one way or the other. That's a big part of it, the relationship you form with your players. I've got a lot of ex-players out there coaching. And, I'm certainly proud of that. But, you know, I tell you, getting back to the Hall of Fame thing, that is one thing that Kentucky's got right. You know, you never know to appreciate it until you attend one of those, and then you never really appreciate it further until you go through it and see what all they do. It's really a first-class thing. And again, it's spearheaded by Ken Trivett, but there's a big organization behind that. And, gosh, it makes you proud to be a part of Kentucky high school basketball.
Well, Alex, he said he's not big on talking on the phone. I think that was a hint. We better let him go.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not calling people. I was not big on calling people.
Well, Coach.
And the players know if they need me, I'm there.
Hey, we really appreciate you coming on here, and congratulations on that honor last night. You're now in the books there forever and forever as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Greg got to get us any points this year.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
Hey, but you got some good ones, no doubt about it. You got some good ones to do that for you.
Hey, guys, anytime. It's always a pleasure talking.
Coach Billy Hicks, thank you very much here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show with Alex Risen sitting in on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. We'll be back after this.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Insurance questions? Morgan & Morgan at ForThePeople.com.
Command and conquer.
That's really what you want to do when it comes to cleaning your home or office. You want to say, this is what needs to be done, and then you want it done, and you want it done well. That's why Command & Conquer Cleaning has so many satisfied customers. You tell them what you want done, and they take care of the rest. Cleaning your home or office with satisfaction guaranteed. Call or text 859-302-0142, 859-302-0142 for your free consultation and quote. Command & Conquer Cleaning provides a quality job at the most affordable prices. Locally owned and operated, so you get service unmatched in the business. Call or text Lori today for your free consultation and quote at 859-302-0142. That's 859-302-0142.
Command and conquer.
That's how cleaning should be.
Summer is in full swing in Aurora. Complete your outdoor room and entertain friends and family with sizzling savings. 50 to 60% off hundreds of in-stock patio collections from top-of-the-line brands. Relax at the pool or in the shade with four-person lounge sets starting at $6.99.
Dine outdoors with a new five-piece dining set starting at $3.99.
Plus, get 30% off select outdoor accessories. Summer is here.
Get your backyard ready for summer fun.
Take advantage of the sizzling savings and hurry into Aurora.
Call 299-2932.
299-2932.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
ABC 36 is Alex Risen sitting in for Mary Joe Perino. Love talking basketball with Billy Hicks. He's one of the great ones. Like, he's... We're not going to sit there and tell him all that stuff, and he's not comfortable, I think, hearing it and doesn't like all the individual stuff, but he is up there among the all-time legends in high school basketball in this state. He said there's nobody like Bobby Keith. There's nobody like Billy Hicks. There's only one of him.
There's some greats, for sure, and he's up there with, I guess, the Mount Rushmore, maybe?
You would have to – that's four. That's a whole different – That's, deal. Yeah. I mean, as far as like opening up that conversation.
We've only got 2 minutes for another break, so.
I mean, Wawa and King Kelly Coleman and, I mean.
See, we're going all mountains, too.
Yeah.
Because that's where you go, right? Yeah. You just gravitate to
it. Well, let's get to this phone call before we got to go to the top of the hour break. Good morning. You're on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
Hey, Dan. What's up?
Hey, what's happening?
Not much. It's Darren.
Hey.
Hey, you know, for 7 years, I was a play-by-play voice for Scott County Basketball.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And really got to know Billy very well. And I tell you what, he had a regiment. On game day, he'd come out, watch his JV team play, and he would give you 3 minutes of a pregame interview, and that was it. he'd be like, the trip, you just done, to get out of here. So, okay, we'll go up and do that. I want to share a story about this. We went to Scott Kenny, had a broadcast partner with me, and I said we were getting ready to be Madison Central, Scott County, for senior day at Scott County.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a freshman JV varsity triple header.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you some of the names, A.W. Hamilton, Rick Jones, Scott Hundley, those kind of guys from Scott County. You had Keneal Jenkins, you had Brandon Fritz, you had Marquise Estill, those guys from Madison Central.
Yeah.
The place was packed. And
that's
I told
good.
My partner, I said, Ronnie, we got to get here before the freshman game. It started, I think, at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
He said, there's no way. I said, we got to get there at 5. We don't. Before the halftime of the freshman game, the place was standing room only.
Yeah.
okay, they had so much of an overflow that they got up, they put a bunch of fans over in the auditorium across the way, brought the screen down, had a camera, had cameras in the gym where they could pipe in the game there, and then piped in our play-by-play over the speaker system.
Well, when you got good players like that, when you got the stars, the really good players, absolutely it brings the people out. There's no doubt about
it. It was a great atmosphere, and I loved doing that. But the thing about Billy, I was 185, 190 pounds when I took over the play-by-play guy over there. By the time I was done eating Billy Hicks's cooking on certain nights, I was about 210.
Hey, well, that Toyota Classic Tournament hospitality room for many years – now, they do have some more sponsors and stuff that bring in food that way, but for many years, there was nothing but home cooking. And, you know, the chili was among the highlights there at the Toyota Classic Hospitality Room.
Yeah, he used to smoke a turkey each for me and my partner.
Wow.
Take on to our families.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, that tells you what kind of guy Billy Hicks is right there. Mm-hmm. Hey, Darren, thanks for sharing. We appreciate it. We got to go to the top of the hour break. We'll be back with more on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Mike Ward from Walnut Hill Church is here to talk about the summer weekend ride happening this Saturday. Promises to be a really good time, and I'm sure, Mike, you're excited about it. Tell us a little bit about it.
Registration opens at 8 a.m. Open road rides for, again, our seasoned cyclists begin at 8:30 a.m. The closed road ride for novices and families begins at 9 a.m. We begin serving a brunch, hospitality brunch, at 10 a.m. right on through till 1. There's no charge to ride. All you need to do is bring a bicycle and a helmet. All riders must have a helmet. We do accept donations to help Kentucky Refugee Ministries for purchasing bicycles for recently arrived refugee families. But the event is free to the public.
The Walnut Hill Church Summer Weekend Ride happens this Saturday, 575 Walnut Hill Road in Lexington. For more information, visit the church's website at walnuthillchurchky.org or the Bluegrass Cycling Club site, bgcycling.net.
Here's what another satisfied customer, and from Lexington, has to say about Barkley Blevins.
They treat me like family. I've watched John grow up over the 30-plus years they've worked with me. They've replaced water heaters, sump pumps, sewer pipes, furnaces, air conditioners, toilets, and faucets. They've done it all. And I like when the technician sits and chats with me at the kitchen table while filling out the ticket. There's no one else I would trust, and you should trust them too.
Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Check them out at barkleyblevins.com.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLHG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
If not, he could sit out the season. Plus, any end in sight in the Ryan Fitzpatrick Jet standoff. The latest Monday morning on Mike and Mike, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLHG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This is what you need to know. The men's final at Wimbledon live on ESPN. Andy Murray leads Milos Raonic 1-0. A champion will also be crowned on the pitch today. Portugal faces France in the UEFA Euro 2016 final. 2:30 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN, and ESPN Deportes. France is 4-0 versus Portugal in major tournaments. The Cubs continue to stumble as Major League Baseball edges closer to the All-Star break. They fell to the Pirates 12-6, their ninth loss in 10 games. Chicago 5-15 since June 20th. That's the worst record in MLB in that span. Daniel Murphy at it again against his former team as he and the Nationals took on the Mets.
Winding and the 1-1. Swinging a high drive right center field. Come on. Daniel Murphy to the bullpen. A two-run home run. 6-1 Washington, and Daniel Murphy has planted his personal flag right here in Flushing, Queens.
The call on 710 WOR of Murphy's sixth home run against New York this season. He also drove in four runs in Washington, 6-1 win. Murphy, by the way, hitting .438, 19 RBI versus the Mets as well this year. Adnan Virk, John Kruk, and Freddie Gonzalez will break down the first half of the season and look ahead to the second half on a Baseball Tonight special from 5 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio. A stunner at UFC 200's main event, Amanda Nunes beat Miesha Tate in the first round of their bantamweight bout, and she is the first female Brazilian champion. Brock Lesnar defeated Mark Hunt by unanimous decision, his first UFC win in over 6 years.
Two NL West rivals meet as Paul Goldschmidt and the Diamondbacks head to San Fran to face Buster Posey and the first-place Giants. Diamondbacks Giants, presented by Harley-Davidson. Today at 3 Eastern, tomorrow at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
One of the great things about little boys and little girls is when they grow up, they want to be just like you. So to moms and dads, aunts and uncles, and grandparents everywhere, remember this. The next time you get in the car and don't buckle your seatbelt, a little boy is watching. And when you decide to text or dial and talk while driving, a little girl is watching your every move. And when you head down the road with a beer or cocktail in the car, that little person next to you is taking it all in. In this life, you have an awesome responsibility to those children who love you the most and want to be you in every way. So make a pledge today to be a good role model to these kids and their friends so that that little boy and that little girl get to grow up and be just like you. Morgan & Morgan, for our children.
Offices Lexington.
For a long, long time in Lexington, Hearst Business Supply and Furniture Solutions has been downtown. Well, they've moved. There's a new location at 500 Buck Place off Greendale Road with a fabulous new working showroom. You can see your furniture in action. Just visit them, tour the new facility, or they can come to you. Take a chair test drive. They have it all for your office at Hearst. Office products, break room, bathroom, space planning, furniture, everything from the boardroom to the bathroom. No order too small or too large. No space too small or too large. No job is too small or too large. It's local, family-owned, third generation, and it's owned by a wonderful woman named Hope Hearst. Are you the person who orders office products, coffee, break room, bathroom supplies? Get it from one source. Visit HearstGroup.net with everything for the office. Think Hearst first.
Never trust your appearance to just anyone. At Lexington's top-rated barbershop, Prince Cuts Barbershop, it's now better than ever. They've updated, renovated, and expanded to better suit clientele. Five flat screens and now eight new booths. Prince Cuts Barbershop, the most talented barbers in the city, will give you the style you deserve. At Prince Cuts, you can even book your appointment online at princecuts.com or give them a call at 299-CUT. Prince Cuts, not your ordinary barbershop. It's an experience. Located off Richmond Road behind Panera in front of Doubletree, Prince Cuts Barbershop, where you will get a style fit for Prince.
Your new job is waiting. Wait, your new career is waiting. UK Dining has jobs available for a variety of cook, supervisor, and new restaurant openings. UK Dining is having a job fair July 14th and 15th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 631 South Limestone Street, across from UK's College of Law. Apply online at uky.campusdish.com/careers. Competitive earnings and benefits for all eligible positions. A background check is required for these positions. UK Dining is an equal opportunity employer.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
381-1313. You can listen online, WLXG.com. You can download the app, WLXG. Just search WLXG in iTunes or Google Play. Easy app. You just tap it, and when it opens up, it immediately starts streaming the sound of whatever is on this radio station, Sports Radio 1300.
I like that. Keeps it easy.
And then we have a podcast, too. You go to iTunes, search the podcast for The Dan and Mary Joe Show, and you can get shows from last weekend, this weekend, if you missed Billy Hicks' interview, if you missed yesterday's interviews with Phil Steele and Morgan Newton, you can listen to those as well. And you can give us a call here, 381-1313. I saw yesterday that Michael, or I saw this on Friday, is that Nazee Muhammad's son has committed to UK. This was from a tweet from Nazee that his son has decided to play for UK, and he's serious about it. But he's 10. He's only 10 right now.
Hey, you know, when you see what you like. As a 10-year-old, you just go get it.
If he's anything like Nazee, I'm sure Cal will take him.
Spend 40 years in the league afterward, too.
Yeah.
Just never stop playing basketball.
And then Michael Kidd-Gilchrist yesterday tweeted out a picture of him at the National Stuttering Association conference and said, you know, look forward to coming back again next year. Like, and for those who don't know about this, I'm sure you've heard him maybe stutter a little bit, but when in 2012, when he was here with that team and those guys, you know, the media was like, why can't we talk to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist? I mean, we've been talking to everybody else. No Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Why are we not getting to talk to him? Like, look, we're working with him. You know, we don't want it to be embarrassing for him because he stutters a little bit. And so they got something where they got kind of like a timing mechanism for him because he would kind of like click a little bit. Like he would.
Yeah, it's almost like a tisk.
Yeah, and but he would stop. He would take a minute, get his thoughts. He was very thoughtful, by the way. It's just for like television. It doesn't make for good television or anything, and you know, it would maybe bore you or you just didn't have time for it because what he would say would take a little bit longer. So that 15-second or 20-second, 30-second sound bite, it might take him more like a minute to say it. But when a lot of times he said such honest and thoughtful things. And just a great, great heart, you know?
He's got to be... for me anyway, like the best dude that I've covered.
Yeah, I mean, it's all genuine.
He's just a good guy.
Yeah, just genuine from him. He just, you could tell he's got a big heart, you know?
He loves basketball.
Yeah.
Like, loves it.
Now, did you watch the documentary on his team?
Yeah.
Was it St. Anthony's? Was that the name of the team?
I can't remember. We got it, though.
Yeah.
HBO, right?
I think
so.
Showtime? I can't remember which
it was.
But
HBO,
yeah, they sent it to the station. They sent it to the TV station. We got to watch it. And, God, it's so good. Such a good look at him and what he went through. And, yeah, I mean, he's just a good-hearted young man. And now to see that he does, instead of it being like an embarrassment for him that he doesn't want to talk about or bring up or, you know, push away from, he's embracing it and being like, look at me. I have the same problems you kids do. I've been able to make it. You know, I talk to the media. I'm on national television. I've got facing the same problem you guys are. I mean, that's pretty special.
And to his credit, he still came out for media opportunities at UK, you know, once we started talking to him. And he, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to talk.
I can remember being at the NCAA tournament, maybe the Final Four, and, you know, all the national people are there. And, I mean, after you've covered the team the whole year and you just know absolutely everything you possibly can. And so then there's another storyline that a national publication is working that hasn't had all the background that we've had the entire season. And I'm not going to say the name of who it was, but I don't even know if anyone would recognize the name, but I'm not going to say the publication, which you would definitely recognize. And she was working this angle of kind of the way she would phrase the questioning was, did UK make it tougher on you because of your situation? Was it tough being at UK and then having the stuttering issue where it's hard for you to get words out? Was it tougher at UK, and did they even care? Did they even try to help you? And that was the kind of the whole angle.
Right.
Just you could see that in her mind, she had a story of it is, you know, if you got a stuttering issue, UK is the wrong place for you. That was kind of the thing, and how evil, you know, basketball and Calipari and one and dones and all this stuff. And, you know, truth be told, they tried to help him and protect him as much as they could. And then worked with him and got him like a coach to help him with this stuff. So they did. It was the other way. It was completely like, no, UK would be a great place to come if you have an issue like that, because they have the resources to get you the help that you might not get at another place. It was just interesting to see the National Calipari Swoop negative in. Perspective come in there and try to make something, you know, something ugly out of something that was not ugly. But 381-1313 is the number to call if you want to get in here. And do you watch the Summer League at all, the basketball?
I do. I have to watch some of it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't watch it typically if there's not a, you know, local area connection, whether right. that's former UK guys or, you know, like Campaign was on Dakari's team for Oklahoma City. So it was kind of nice seeing him. And then.
But like last night, yeah. would you have chosen to see, because D'Angelo Russell hit a buzzer beater?
No.
Would you have watched Lakers and.
And Russell's even a Louisville guy. So, I mean, I don't. But I still don't have a feel for him. Cause,
and they were playing 76ers and Ben Simmons.
Meh.
You know? No, me either.
I'm good.
Me either. I mean, really,
call
it
me
has
when it
to
matters.
Be. It has to be Kentucky Connections playing. And then I'm interested to see how they do. And, gosh, probably the best that I've ever seen was yesterday with Devin Booker. It really was the best that I've, as far as Summer League goes, watching somebody play. I mean, for a Kentucky Connection, that was the best that, where you just, you saw that there was someone out on the floor that was clearly better than anybody else.
And
just
he really
head
shouldn't
and shoulders.
Be. He shouldn't be in the Summer League.
No.
It's really for spot duty is what they originally announced. He's just here for a little work, just to kind of keep in it, you know. We know he's definitely good enough. This isn't a matter of, you know, trying to make a roster or he needs the reps. It's really more or less, yeah, I kind of just want to get out there and do a little something.
Yeah.
And he did.
But Scal Labissiere and Willie Cauley-Stein were both on the Kings. I think Friday was their first game in Summer League. Yeah, it didn't. Neither one of them really played all that well. I think they were would have combined 5 for 20, 2 for 10, and 3 for 10. Just didn't play. Didn't look that good. I mean, Scal had a few times where he did, like I saw him make a nice little hook. And
there's a 3 in transition that he hit too. I think.
Yeah.
That first night on Friday night.
So he showed it off a little bit. But what was most interesting to me is that. Hearing comments about or from Willie Cauley-Stein about the year he had last year and just the difference in the coach now that they have, where they had George Karl before. And it was almost like, and DeMarcus Cousins was saying this too. He was being talked to saying that it was really hard for Willie last season in that he was told basically, don't try to make those plays. You can't make those plays. You're not going to make those plays. So do this instead. Quit trying to do that. That's not what we want you to do. And I guess that frustrated him because he thought, well, I can make those plays. Don't tell me I can't. I can.
Wrong guy to tell that to.
you're giving him a role that he doesn't necessarily feel comfortable in. And so now this coach is like, no, we do want you to do that. We actually need you to do that. That's going to help us if you can do that. And I think that's what we're talking about here is just scoring ability, able to put the ball in the basket, and whether that's a 10-footer, you know, which is something that he started to show just a little bit at Kentucky. But we also know from his time at Kentucky, he was never that offensive threat. I mean, he was first-team All-America defense. I mean, first-team All-America for everybody, but defense is why he was there, not for his scoring ability. Offensive skills. But I think if they can let him be free, and then you've got a leaner DeMarcus Cousins, you know, it's not too bad. But no more Rondo, no more assist leader on the Kings. He's now with the Chicago Bulls. See how that works out.
I don't feel like that's going to go very well. Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo in the same locker room.
With Jimmy Butler. Who said, it's Derrick Rose or me. Look, I'm not playing with this guy anymore. Oh, okay. Here's Rondo and Dwayne Wade.
Surprise!
Yeah, that's not going to go well. Well, Andrew Harrison was, I mean, he was great his first night. He looked spectacular.
Game high 23.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a Memphis win.
4 assists, 5 turnovers.
Meh. Yeah. Give me the ball.
Yeah.
I'm not here to pass when we're playing the NBA D League select team.
Mm-hmm. Liggins, you know, DeAndre Liggins with the Cavaliers. I mean, this is how many years has he played in the summer league, in the D League, trying to catch on, and he's done well in the D League, and just I don't know what
else he can do.
Yeah. What else can he do?
What does he have to prove? What does he have to show?
Well, the Cavs, he played like the third most minutes in the summer league game, but he only had 3 points, which was a three. He was 1 for 2. He shot 2 3-pointers, hit one of them. He did have 7 rebounds and a block. So I don't know. I don't know what he has to do to find a spot. Seems like there would be a spot for him. Seems like you watch these games and you go, DeAndre Liggins could help better than this guy could. Now, did the Cavaliers keep Dellavedova, or is he gone?
I would have to look.
I thought that he was gone. And now Dellavedova plays a role that DeAndre could play. Yeah. DeAndre could fill that role, Dellavedova, which is you don't expect him to contribute offensively. When he does, it's a bonus. But he's a dog on defense, gritty, nasty.
He's in for one reason.
And DeAndre's that. Now, I don't know that I've ever seen DeAndre be dirty as far as that goes, where Dellavedova is dirty. I don't care what you say. He's dirty. He's on the Bucks, so he went to the. So his career is over. He went to Milwaukee. That's
see
it for
you
him.
Later.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you better have some money if you're going to go to Milwaukee. You better pay me to live up there.
Can't really. Well, I'll leave that alone.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Milwaukee, Detroit, whatever.
But the Summer League goes to the 18th. So what
in
do
Vegas,
we got?
Yeah.
For 8 more days of this stuff, and it's on, you know, all day.
Rockets Kings at 6:30 tonight on NBA TV.
Wiltshire.
Kyle Wiltshire,
yeah,
with the Rockets. Obviously the Kings, like you mentioned, Scott and Willie. You've got Jazz Pelicans at 8 on NBA TV, and that's Trey Lyles who lit up the Utah League.
Now, for I don't know this for sure, but I think maybe he's not going to play
tonight
in Vegas.
He played the first game.
Oh, he did play the first game?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had 28 points.
In Vegas?
Tore it up, yeah.
Oh.
That was last night.
Oh, so last night he had 28 points.
Yeah.
I see. Because they asked him, I saw a post game after Utah's summer league, and he's like, I'm not sure. And then when I checked the roster, he wasn't on it, but I didn't realize he played last night. So, yeah. He might not play much more.
And you wouldn't think maybe Devin Book, you know.
Yeah.
At this point, it's like, okay, yep, I'm still good.
Yeah, let's not get hurt.
But the Suns do play the Celtics and James Young, 10:30 ESPN 2.
Okay. The Suns. So, Ulis, Booker, James Young. Which and, James Young was, you know, he had a good game or a good showing in Utah.
Yeah, he didn't, you know, have to do a whole lot. Didn't play
Well, he's 8 of 12 from 3, yeah, though, over 3 games, which was pretty nice for him. And here's the thing about James Young is you think about this is his third summer league, which that's not good for a guy who was a first-round draft pick. He didn't turn 21 till August. I mean, he's not 21 till another month. Buddy Hield is 23.
That's the weird part about this now, right?
Yeah. So why give up on James Young now? You need him to just keep developing, and maybe in another year, or maybe it's this year. But if it's not this year and you see progress, you could still give him another year because then he would just be 22, you know?
And isn't that what, you know, Cal kind of hinted about with Scal? You draft
right.
A guy these days in the first round. It really is all potential. You don't really have to go much on what you've proven.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, some guys, you know, get, you know, I've seen it. You know, Jamal Murray can do what he does. The Nuggets pick him on what he's proven.
Yeah.
We'll develop the rest later. But it's still on potential and development for the things that you're lacking and missing, just like anything else.
Right.
You got plenty of time.
Absolutely. 381-1313 if you want to get in here and talk UK basketball or football. When we come back, just a little bit on baseball. I got to get this in. And we'll do that next year on the Dan and Mary Jo Show with Alex Risen from ABC 36 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this. on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
As far as you trusting me for information, for facts, that seems like a you problem, not me. I mean, that's on you, man.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just being myself, man.
No, but what do you mean you didn't do anything wrong? You were wrong.
And that's me just being myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Know your teammate.
Exactly.
Dan Levitard, weekdays 10 to 1 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Legends will wrap up their home stand against the Greenville Drive this afternoon at 2:05. It's another Jip Kids Club Sunday where all Kids Club members will form a high-five tunnel for all of the Legends players to run through when the game begins. Sign your child up for free at LexingtonLegends.com.
Schwab's Pipes and Stuff. It's where to go when your day's been rough.
We're family-owned since 1977. Come and enjoy our smoking lounge and patio on Southland Drive.
Hey, hey, our cigars are great and our blends are the bomb. It's time for you to get your smoke on. So head on down to a place you're sure to love. Talking about Schwab's Pipes and Stuff.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you. And the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
It's a great day to eat barbecue. My favorite thing is the cowbell. Moo!
My favorite thing is the slow-cooked meat. Their vinegar slaw reminds me of my grandma's house in Birmingham.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is the atmosphere and food.
I love coming to City Barbecue because I love their fries.
Their pulled chicken is filled with flavor.
I love their turkey.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is all of the smoked meat.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is I always leave happier than when I got here.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Talk a little baseball for a minute. The Home Run Derby is tomorrow night, and... Okay, so do you think, let me just give you the names real quick. Todd Frazier, Mark Trumbo, Adam Duvall, Giancarlo Stanton. Do you consider them the biggest stars in baseball? Like, does that enough star power for the Home Run Derby for you? Cause it's not...
Like, years of old, no.
It's not
McGuire Sosa. Like, yeah. I always think of, you know what I mean? Like,
it's not Big Poppy, yeah.
Cespedes. Barry Bonds, or something. You know, it's just... These huge names,
mm-hmm. Or
for a baseball fan, like I think baseball fans are probably like, oh yeah, that's good Home Run Derby.
Now Bryce Harper's not going to be in it, but the guys I just mentioned are like the leaders in home runs. Mark Trumbo, 28 home runs leads. I think Frazier has 25, and Duvall has like 22, 23.
And I guess so, I got to pull for Duvall by default.
Yeah, so they're the league leaders in home runs. I don't know if Rizzo is going to be in the Home Run Derby, but. So the Cubs got, in the All-Star voting, they got the entire infield. Rizzo at first, Ben Zobrist at second, Addison Russell at shortstop, Chris Bryant at third, based on fans voting. I'm a Cubs fan, and I'm good with Bryant and Rizzo, and I can even make an argument for Zobrist at second, but Addison Russell does not belong at shortstop in the All-Star game. Dexter Fowler is not going to be in the game because of injury, so Adam Duvall gets in for the Reds.
And Louisville, you know.
Right.
I just like to
absolutely
pull for the hometown kid.
Absolutely. And Cubs fans got too cocky about this team. Now they got all the guys in the All-Star game, all right? And the pitching and Jake Arrieta have been great, and they've gotten too cocky. And it's all coming apart. It's all just absolutely coming apart the way it should for the Cubs, because it always does, because they're cursed. Since June 20th, the Cubs are the worst team in baseball. They are 5-15 since June 20th.
How many games up are they in the division?
Okay, 10 days ago.
Hanging on.
10 days ago, the Cubs were up 14 games. They were up 14 10 days ago. Now their lead is down to 6.5 over the Pirates. From 14 to 6.5 in 10 days. Cubs have lost 9 of 10, 15 of 20. Their ERA since June 20th is 29th in Major League Baseball. That ERA was the best in baseball for the first 3 months of the season.
Is this where I get to say that there's too many games in baseball, though, and that's the exact reason why you should play less games, is because the poor Cubs are like, why are we still playing? I'm bored now.
There probably are too many games in baseball, but I think that's what makes the true champion. Is if your team is the best team, it can withstand everything in a season. The ups, the downs, the injuries, all that stuff. And you make it through, and you win. You have the best team. But then, occasionally there is that all of a sudden we're hot in, late September, October, and just our arms are firing at that time or whatever. But, the Cubs looked invincible.
They did.
They looked like a team that had the best offense and the best pitching and played good defense and a manager that knows how to handle it all and Joe Maddon. And they're just going to run away with the division, and nobody but maybe the Giants is going to be able to match them in the postseason with the pitching staff. And now Jake Arrieta is like 4-5 in his last I think 4-5. Anyway, he's gone.
It isn't good.
It's not been good. He was 8-0. He started out 8-0, and it can't be 4-5. But anyway.
Are you calling the worst collapse in the history of baseball?
John Lackey. I don't know if it's going to be the worst in the history of baseball.
Do you think that they will turn it around?
Yeah.
Turn it around back to what it was? Or
No.
That's okay.
They'll stay in competition for the division title. And it'll be the Pirates and them going at it. But they're not going to run away. I don't know if they'll get that lead back up to 14 again.
Has anyone thrown out pitching. That stat?
What?
The number of games that you were leading in the division and then maybe not win it, if the Cubs don't win it.
Yeah, I don't know. There's been some monumental collapses, throughout the history of baseball, no doubt. 14 games.
14.
June 20th, I guess is what, yeah. So, 10 days ago. So, at the All-Star break, they're up 6.5. Well, tonight, they got to play today against the Pirates. So it could go to 5.5.
Yeah, that's a quick one.
But this team was built so that you could throw out Arrieta and expect to win in game one of whatever postseason series, and throw out Lester in game two and expect to get game two. Or if something goes wrong, you throw out John Lackey in game three. And those three guys, plus your bats, are going to be able to get to a World Series and have a good chance of winning one. But if Arrieta's not good and then Lester's not good, Lackey can't be the guy. So those guys got to turn around. Mets are having similar issues. Noah Syndergaard already has like a tired arm. Because that's another that's the team that beat the Cubs last year in the postseason, and they just tore up Cubs pitching. And Mets pitching tore up Cubs bats. So I'm thinking San Francisco in the World Series, your champion again. Bruce Bochy just going to go down as a Hall of Fame manager, one of the greatest of all time. Because they don't have the superstar in the lineup as far as like the bats. They don't have Barry Bonds, it's Buster Posey. It's Brandon Crawford. It's Brandon Belt. They don't even have Pablo Sandoval anymore. They've got these guys that
are good at baseball.
Yes, they're just baseball players, just straight-up competitors who come up with timely hits, and they've got dynamite pitching. How about when they brought Lincecum out of the bullpen? You think of what Lincecum has done in his career in San Francisco. He thought he was over. He comes out in the postseason, coming out of the bullpen, and he's the best middle relief in the postseason. Just crushing it. They've got some magic going on over there, and the Cubs have everything against them. They have all the history in the world stacked against them. So they're likely to implode, and Pittsburgh is your NL Central champ. We'll see.
All right, Chicago.
Let's get back to UFC talk after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Ride in your truck with style on the road, off the road. That's the lifted life. Let your truck work for you on the farm, on the job site. That's the lifted life. Take your truck out to play at the lake, on the trail. That's the lifted life. Your truck is a part of you, whether it's for style, work, or play. So why not have the best of the best? Lucky's Off-Road is the truck accessories authority for getting you that lifted life. Lucky's installs everything you need to pull that boat, conquer that mountain, or function on that construction site. Suspension lifts, wheels and tires, winches, trailer hitches, toolboxes, bed covers, floor mats, step bars, bed liners, ladder racks, brush guards, vent visors, LED light bars, audio, video, you name it. Lucky's Off-Road has got it. Visit our showroom. Call Lucky's Off-Road at 859-299-4411 or get a quote at luckysoffroad.com today. Why? Because you deserve that lifted life.
Command and conquer.
That's really what you want to do when it comes to cleaning your home or office. You want to say, this is what needs to be done, and then you want it done, and you want it done well. That's why Command & Conquer Cleaning has so many satisfied customers. You tell them what you want done, and they take care of the rest. Cleaning your home or office with satisfaction guaranteed. Call or text 859-302-0142, 859-302-0142 for your free consultation and quote. Command & Conquer Cleaning provides a quality job at the most affordable prices. Locally owned and operated, so you get service unmatched in the business. Call or text Lori today for your free consultation and quote at 859-302-0142. That's 859-302-0142.
Command and conquer.
That's how cleaning should be.
Wednesdays are going to the majors all summer long at Wing Zone. Hello, this is Doug Flynn, and everyone knows there's three things I love: fishing, golf, and of course, Cincinnati Reds baseball. Thanks to Wing Zone, I now have something else to enjoy: the Reds Pack. Every Wednesday, you can get 20 wings, jumbo wedge fry, ranch, and celery for only $15. That's right, only $15 and delivered right to your door. Call Southland Drive at 259-1300. Or Eureka Springs at 259-1400. I know what I'll be indulging in every Wednesday. The Reds Pack from Wing Zone.
ESPN Sports Radio 13. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So you, Josh, you watched UFC last night, did you? No, you just saw the highlights. And then, Alex, you didn't see it.
No.
You saw some of the highlights a little bit. But you're a big fan, Josh, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Like, how long have you been a UFC fan? Like, when do you remember being like, oh, this is cool, I'm in it?
I remember in seventh grade, it was the first season of The Ultimate Fighter, which is like Survivor.
Right.
Basically, the winner makes it in the UFC, and I like that, kind of like the everyone's like a Rocky, and they're just trying to make it.
So seventh grade would have been like 10 years ago for you? Is that right?
I don't know how long it was.
I'll give you 10.
Yeah, let's just say
10. 10, 12, maybe more than that. I mean, you're 25, yeah. So probably more like 12,
yeah.
13 years.
Yeah, because now it's in The Ultimate Fighter was just ended the 17th season.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, I can remember this stuff. It was early 90s when it started getting going, like MMA fighting. Like Royce Gracie, you know, the Gracie family or whatever they were going.
It was so barbaric, too. Just,
right. So, I mean, when it first came out, it was seen as, it is too barbaric. It's just, we can't, and people ignored it. Like, media ignored it. Radio shows ignored it. ESPN ignored it. And then it caught on. And then now, ESPN had a crew there. They had three guys there. They don't carry the fight. They don't have it.
Right.
They've got a post-game show with, or a post-fight show with Jonathan Coachman and a couple other guys, and they're breaking it down, just like a big boxing match would be. But then they can't show, like, the highlights of it. They can just show pictures, and then eventually they can show highlights of it after a certain time or whatever. But they cover it big time. Sports radio gets into it some. Like Bill Simmons has a new show called, what, Any Given Wednesday that's on HBO. He had Joe Rogan, who's one of the, you know, former fighter and then one of the analysts on the broadcast, was on his show. So my point is, it's huge now. Huge. I would like to see the numbers. I've looked. I haven't seen any numbers yet for the pay-per-view. Where it ranks, how much money went into it, and where it ranks in popularity of past UFC pay-per-view events. And then compare that to maybe what Mayweather Pacquiao brought in, you know? It's the thing about, like, Mayweather Pacquiao, something like that, that's the fight you're going to see. Yeah, there's some fights on the undercard, but you don't care at all. And then it goes for 12 rounds or whatever, and then it doesn't pay off. It's like, I just wasted all this time. Well, UFC, like last night's card, had three main events in one, and still the undercard action is big action. Like, it's still entertaining. But you had like three. You had the Brock Lesnar fight, and then you had Anderson Silva fighting, who's like known as the best ever, and then you had the Miesha Tate Amanda Nunes fight, which wound up being the most action-packed, if you will. The most,
it was bloody.
The main event, and it was the big upset. And so, I think is it overtaken boxing in popularity, definitely with the generation that's coming up, for sure. But for me, I definitely wasn't into it early on. And I'm really not into it now so much, but I wanted to watch last night because Brock Lesnar, you know, kind of pulled me in. That's what I was really interested in seeing. But I thought about this. Well, why? I can remember. I thought it was just too much. I don't want to see guys beat each other's noses in and blood everywhere and knees to the head and all that. I don't need to see that. I mean, the world's violent enough as it is, you know? So why now? Well, you think about how things have changed over the last 20 years or so. Think about just this week. What did we see on our phones, online, this week? What did our eyes take in? You have a black man laying on the ground in a parking lot being shot. You have another man in a car with his girlfriend narrating how he just got shot. And he's laying there dying. We watch him die on a video. Then we see video of armed gunmen shooting police officers. That video was on the news stations. It's available on social media, online, of a police officer being executed. That was our week. That's what we've seen. So what's two guys in a ring punching on each other's heads? That's not going to bother us, right?
I still think it's the demand, right? I mean, because, you know, Cowherd, back when he was on ESPN, you still had the, you know, he would always say, for people who like him or don't like him, he was right. He would say, you know, WNBA doesn't bring ratings.
Right.
The only reason it even survives is because we have the contract.
Yeah.
And that's where they get the money.
Yeah.
But it doesn't pull ratings, and I'm never going to talk about it because it doesn't pull ratings just means no one cares. No one's watching it, so why would I talk about it the next day on my show? But when people are forcing you to talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. We're watching UFC. We're tweeting about it. We're putting it up.
Yeah.
So you would be stupid not to bring it in then at some point because, hey, we can make money off this and get ratings and get sponsors and all the other things that come with it. So we must cover it now because the people have spoken and that's what they want to see.
And I think that's – I mean, my point is that we've become so desensitized to things that the minds of the people who thought this is too brutal, this is too much, I think have changed a little bit. And as the new generations come up, younger people get older, this is where it's going. You know, this is, the minds have changed. I think minds have been changed on it, and I think it's just because of what we're in. Nothing's shocking anymore. So,
do you think it replaces at some point, like a WWE? You know, does it take over that arena too?
I don't think so. No, because
it
that,
just takes over like where boxing used to be in its heyday. And,
yeah,
and
WWE, because there's no trash talking in UFC to the level that there is at WWE.
Well, yeah,
half of the WWE stuff is storyline trash.
Yeah, it's no storyline.
It's a soap opera for grown men, is what it is.
I like that.
And it's just, the trash talking is great. I mean, The Rock has some of the best lines ever. The Macho Man Randy Savage, yeah.
I'm going to tell you something right here, Dan Reefer.
The cream rises to the top. Ooh, yeah. Oh, man.
Nonsensical.
I got chill bumps just thinking about that. So,
it's beautiful.
That stuff is not happening in UFC. They don't have that in UFC to that level, so it won't. But it could overtake boxing.
Well, I think it's definitely already overtaken boxing.
Would be interesting to see what UFC 200's pay-per-view numbers were versus Pacquiao Mayweather pay-per-view numbers. So which one is higher? Because, I mean, Mayweather Pacquiao cleaned up. So then you could say, once UFC overtakes that as far as one event, is its biggest event is bigger than boxing's biggest event, then you could say I think it takes it over. But as far as...
Because like Friday night fights and stuff?
Yeah.
Would you watch just like a standard, like, you know, if UFC just had like a nightly thing, right, on a Friday night, would you rather watch the UFC Friday night fight on ESPN2 or whatever it is now, or would you watch a couple of Joe Blows going at it?
Yeah, definitely not the boxing. No, I wouldn't watch that. I would watch... But boxing, as long as boxing would still have big stars, I'd probably prefer a boxing match. Like a, you know, Hagler, Holmes, or something like that. You know what I mean? But they don't have that many stars like that anymore. Like Mayweather's it, and Pacquiao.
Kind of.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't have the stars that way.
I feel like, Lennox Lewis,
yeah.
Klitschko.
Yeah.
For me, that was like the last time I really kind of got into it, I guess, you know, or felt like I was hearing about it a lot. I know Mayweather,
Holyfield,
you know, played up, but I just feel like, man, I remember Lennox Lewis, Klitschko, and then Mike Tyson had a fight in Louisville one time against some scrub or something, I think. But
yeah, I don't know. It's missing its stars. I think UFC is probably going to overtake him. All right, Al is on the line. Al, we're going to get to a break, and then when we come back, you'll be the first thing we do is get you on the phone. So hang on there. We'll do it next year on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Lucky's Auto Sports is Central Kentucky's largest window tinting facility. Defining rides since 1999. Want to cut down on glare while you're driving? Want to protect your interior? Want that stylish look of darker windows? Bring your car or truck to Lucky's Auto Sports for same-day service and let us tint your windows today. Our staff has over 40 years' experience and all the tools of the trade in auto tinting to ensure quality service. And all of our professional window tinting for your car, truck, RV, or SUV is backed by a lifetime warranty on bubbling, peeling, and fading. Lucky's Auto Sports only uses high-performance films, and all of our tint is computer cut. That means a machine cuts the tint before our technicians apply it to your vehicle's windows, so everything looks factory installed. Call us at 859-299-4411 or get a quote and download coupons at luckysautosports.com today. That's Lucky's Auto Sports, your source for window tinting, auto and truck accessories, car audio, remote starts, and more.
The volunteers of the Troubadour Concert Series and Hybrid Springwater present two legendary artists in one concert evening, Sean Colvin.
Sonny came home to her favorite.
And Steve Earle. Colvin and Earle together in concert Tuesday, July 26th at the Lexington Opera House. For tickets, 233 233- 3535, presented by Hybrid Spring Water and ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
What is it about Tony's Steaks and Seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
All right, we got a couple calls to get to, so we'll do it now. Al is on the line. Good morning, Al.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Over the last 5 or 10 years or so, there's probably been four people whose name has dominated North American sports, and I'll go in this order: Tom Brady, LeBron James, John Calipari, and Serena Williams.
Yeah.
The reason I can say LeBron James is because he's always relevant when it comes to NBA championship, NBA trade talk. He has moved and the pawns on the chessboard more than any player probably in NBA history. Then you talk about Tom Brady. He went 17-1, lost to that damn team on the Velcro catch.
Yeah.
Always seemed to be involved in controversy, the freight gate. He wins the Super Bowl on the freight gate. John Calipari is probably the number one recruiter in the land. Probably still taking a whole bunch of medicine, losing that game in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But he's been able to rebound to always maintain the number one recruiting class. Always talked about in a good way and a bad way, locally and nationally. Those people, whether they lose, win a championship or lose a championship, they always are talked about heavily on SportsCenter and local talk shows. And then Serena Williams.
Lost,
I think, last year, and wish she could have got the Grand Slam. Comeback win yesterday. Truly, always, she's never talked about. I don't know if it's because she's a female, but you certainly have to always include her in those ones that I just mentioned. And those four people, in my mind, have all. And I don't ignore Coach K, but Coach K is not University of Kentucky basketball coach. Calipari is, so that's why I include Cal. Cal, when he loses, he's on every talk show throughout the land.
Yeah,
that's why I threw him in. Y'all take a little bit on that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with a lot of that. You mentioned LeBron. He's been in six straight NBA championships. So he is NBA basketball last 10 years. Serena, I mean, she just tied for second most Grand Slam. She has 22. If you include doubles, because she turned around 3 hours later and won the doubles title with Venus. If you count that, she has 36 trophies in Grand Slam events for doubles and singles. I mean, she is one of the greatest of all time. She's not done yet. She could be the greatest of all time by the time she's finished. So, I mean, there's nobody like her. Yeah, and Tom Brady is he's the Joe Montana of.
I was gonna say, yeah, because he still makes news even when he's not doing football.
Yeah, I mean, he is this time's, definitely the last 10 years, greatest quarterback, because he keeps doing it over and over again, continues to do it. They take away talent from him. I mean, remember when he had Randy Moss? They were pretty good. You take away guys like that, and now he's got like Gronk. You know, I mean, they don't surround him with the best receivers and running backs. So it's a lot of just getting it in the right places and calling the right plays. And Deflategate to me is, it's a football that's either a little bit deflated or, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That really, it's Tom Brady. It's not like Sammy Sosa on steroids, you know? That's a different deal. It's a football. So, I mean, yeah, Tom Brady, I agree with that one too. And then who else? Who am I missing, did he say?
Calipari.
Oh, and then, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about, to me, in college, well,
He's Nick Saban, potentially.
Yeah, Nick Saban would be there. But, you know, Calipari has changed things. Nobody had won a national championship with three one-and-dones as your starters. We had Davis, MKG, Teague were three guys on the team that were one-and-done. And two other guys that started were two-and-done, Terrence Jones and Daron Lamb. Nobody's done that. Nobody has had three freshmen, two sophomore starters. Your main guy off the bench, by the way, was, or one of the main guys, the seventh man, was another freshman, Kyle Wilcher. So nobody, so out of your top seven players, four are freshmen and two are sophomores. I mean, six of your top seven freshmen and sophomores. So nobody had done that in college basketball before then. He's changed it, completely changed the game. And yes, the things he says always grabs headlines and attention. He's such a marketer, but he couldn't do it at Memphis the way it gets picked up at UK. So, I mean, he's doing the same things he's always been doing, but to do it the way he's done at UK, he every time he says something or every time he posts something on CoachCal.com, it gets picked up. I mean, he's got ESPN running basketball practices. So, yeah, I agree with everything on that, Al.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate the show, guys. You do a great job.
Hey, thank you, Al. Thank you. Let's go to Mark. Mark's on the line. Good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing? I want to talk boxing, but I'm going to talk about Calipari. I think with Coach Cal, you know, I think he's, to me, you know, I used to doubt him, and, you know, I used to think he was not that great, but I think he's the best college, you know, coach in the land, and he's created more millionaires than any other college coach around there has. And if he was a stockbroker, you would invest your money with him.
Because, yeah.
You know, you're going to get maximum return on it.
No kidding.
And I just feel like, you know, we can't look at his championships, but he's giving young men a chance to become millionaires. Even the ones that ain't good, they still get drafted first round, most of them had. And they, you know, might not be playing in the NBA like James Young them, but because they can't play for Calipari, they got that opportunity to get that guaranteed contract. And, a lot of it, you know, you can't say that for Duke guys and a lot of things like that. Some guys stayed up there 4 or 5 years and they haven't got the chance. But I just think Coach Cal is the best coach in college basketball. Nobody can do better here or wherever Cal goes. He's probably going to take, you know, he's going to probably take the recruiting with him. And he's done a great job at Memphis. Everywhere he's been, he's been successful. And I don't know if anybody else can do what he does in college basketball. But thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, and nobody says he's the one that's out there players first. He started that. And he would say stuff like at Big Blue Madness where he'd be like, it's not about championships, not about you, it's about these players. And the greatest day in the history of UK basketball was having five guys go in the first round. And, you know, putting that out there and going players first. Is there another coach that is, nobody else has been like that and says, we're worried about the players. If they bring us a championship, good. But we're worried about them and what's best for them. I mean, if Scal Labissiere would have played somewhere else this season and had the season that he had at UK.
Workouts or not.
Yeah.
He's not going
right
in the first round.
He's in the under the microscope, and he does get all the attention. So everything he does is analyzed, overanalyzed. But when you have Calipari comes right out and says, I messed him up, you guys. You just saw a glimpse of what he can be because I figured it out. I was trying to play him like he's not Anthony Davis. I was trying to play him that way. So look, it was my mistake, guys. Don't hold it against Cal. Who else is Coach K going to come out and say,
my bad.
My bad. I made a mistake. I didn't play him at the position and in the way he needs to play. No, I just don't see any of the other coaches coming out and spinning it. I mean, he's a great spinner, and so he's spun this into a first-round guaranteed money for Scal Labissiere.
He still jokes about, you know, Cousins. Oh, I held him back. You know, he wasn't right. Getting to shoot enough jumpers and threes. See, I just hold everybody back. That's all. Josh Harrelson is the one for me that always sticks out. The fact that he got a chance in the league,
yeah.
Nothing against Josh, but, I mean, you developed under John Calipari, right?
Yeah.
There's no other way around it. He definitely got you on the right track and the right path and was able to get you a chance to play National Basketball Association basketball.
if you're going against the guys, the number of talented guys that Kentucky has that he brings in every year, and you go against that every day in practice, you're either going to get good at it or you're just not good enough. That's it. And Josh Harrelson was able to be good at it. I mean, you know that Josh has got to be so thankful to Calipari.
Darius Miller.
Yeah.
You know, always a role player and try to fit into every team that Cal had, and every year it was something different. Championship years, you know, it was vastly different than the John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins year. I mean, he always had to morph, and he gets a chance at the NBA and gets drafted because he's able to show the adaptability and, or, you know, whatever else he's able to show, that I can be what you need me to be, gets a crack at it.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with people who say that Calipari is doing a great job, because he just simply is. There's nothing you say about it. All right, Alex, thanks for being here again this weekend.
It's always fun.
Yeah, we will miss you, because Mary Jo is going to be back in the seat next weekend. We'll be at Jack Kane Ford next weekend. You should come out there and see us over there. But Alex, always great. Thanks for doing it. Enjoyed it. Folks, have a good weekend, and we will talk to you again next weekend on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Mike and Mike.
John Sally, when he hosted with me, told me he was